there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome back to Horror for the Holidays, a Christmas horror movie podcast. I'm Jay Logsdon.
And I'm Jeff Searcy.
Jeff, we're going to dive right in. None of this fucking bullshitting. None of this like, oh, how you doing? Oh, da, 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 da. No, we're gonna dive the fuck in.
That's right. Hardcore podcasting.
Deck the Halls. Gnome 6. 7 days till Mithras. Released June 10th, 2025. Didn't even know about this until like November, December of last year. This had been out for a full 6 months before I'd ever even heard about it.
I know, that's unusual for you.
Written and directed by Mike L. Taylor, who has done a lot of stuff that looks like, it all looks pretty interesting. He's been fairly successful. But probably the most interesting movie he has is a movie called Zomboobies. Jeff, the description. While conducting experiments to create the perfect boobs, a group of doctors are transformed into evil mutant creatures with an unstoppable hunger for boobs.
Yeah, I could see that.
I think we need to watch this movie. Figure out how to watch Zomboobies.
That sounds like a fat boy summer movie.
Story consultant Jim Martin has done quite a bit of writing for TV. I think had like episodes of tons of like animated shows, but I think also maybe had written for Heroes. I think I saw.
Yeah. So not totally inexperienced, but not like anything huge.
Brian Forrest plays Pete Grunderson, and has done stuff for The Guild, Critical Role, and The Mandalorian. Which are all Jeff things.
Yes, that's true.
I don't know what a single one. I know what The Mandalorian is. I think I know what The Guild and Critical Role are.
You can certainly try.
Jeff just revealed his D20 shirt that says "You can certainly try."
Damn you, Matt Mercer.
But yeah, I thought that I was going through, I was like, those are all Jeff things.
It's true.
People know I'm a light Star Wars guy.
He's a medium Star Wars guy.
I'm a medium Star Wars guy. Pyar Anderson plays Father Grunderson.
Which one?
The sixth.
Ah, okay.
Lennon Hobson was our story editor on this movie and plays Annie Mitchell or Ann Mitchell. Ian Rear Michaels is Alex Sigil. Rachel Rios is Carla Aguilara. We've got Melina Catherine Gross playing Charlie Chuck Pardue. Alexander Word, who plays Tony Raven,
yes,
plays Nosferatu in the SpongeBob episodes.
Nice.
Not the classic one, not the hash slinging slasher, but Nosferatu's been making a comeback maybe around 2019.
Yeah,
they started putting Nosferatu in more episodes, and so he's done, I guess, the mocap work or the screen work for that, so then they could like rotoscope it in or whatever they do.
Cool.
And then we'll also be Tarman in the new Return of the Living Dead.
Nice.
Tagline: there's no place like home. Excellent.
I mean, yeah, I can see that.
Where to watch? YouTube, Tubi. Buy a DVD copy from Vinegar Syndrome.
That's all the things.
I'm sure there are other free places to watch it.
Oh, it's everywhere.
It is everywhere. The social media has been sharing. I'm gonna do this for our Clothes for Christmas. It's just been sharing reviews while playing the Gnome 6 theme song.
Nice.
And that's been their entire social media campaign. So like, you'll find it. If you're on the lookout, you'll find it. Personal experience. It was the Vinegar Syndrome partner label sale in late November, early December of last year. And I went out and I typed in Christmas and this popped up and I went, well, that sounds weird. And I went and I clicked on the link and watched the trailer and I went, That looks amazing. That's right. That's exactly what we're looking for.
Like I said, I can't believe he didn't find it sooner. Usually this thing pops up on his radar right away.
I looked through, like, I've got open tabs for, like, Dread Central, and it's just with like just searching the word Christmas. And then what's the other horror website? I don't remember. But I've got links on both of them and just the word Christmas open. So if it, and I check about once a month, not during the Halloween Christmas season, but I'll check more often around then. And so I had it open. I never once saw a thing about this.
Well, I guess it was a happy surprise for you,
then. Yeah, it was, Jeff, it's something else.
it's something else.
Got anything to add? I couldn't find a budget. They filmed in California. That's where the movie's based.
Say the only budget I saw was somebody saying that this looks like it was made for a dollar. So,
Jeff, I'd believe it. All right. Well,
it's worth watching. I told Jay earlier last night I watched it on my VR headset, and it's worth watching in VR for the gnomes if you have a 3D effect on.
All right. We get a news broadcast with Jill Gilson and Jackie Jackson, the lead co-anchor and co-lead anchor for Christmas California's news station, talking about how it's Christmas Eve, 2006. The movie then turns, like, the music in the movie turns kind of spooky, and the broadcast ends, and we are outside the Gundersons and Son custom Christmas ornament shop.
Yes, yes. Of course.
We see Father Gunderson the sixth, hard at work making Christmas ornaments as he listens to Jill and Jackie, also on the radio, talking about Grundersons and Sons and how their store has been open for years and how it's a pillar of the community and it's the most important Christmas ornament shop in all of Christmas, California. And then they switch their discussion to the Santa Slasher, who's already killed 6 people this year. And he hasn't killed that many people since 1989 or something like that. Gee,
it's almost like it happens every 18 years.
And as they're talking, we see a creepy looking Santa with yellow lights in his eyes.
Comically sneaking
towards...
comically bad sneaking, by the way.
Towards Father Grunderson. And we think, oh, Father Grunderson's about to get killed. And he says something like, good job, son. And then he turns around and Father Grunderson hits him in the head with the hammer, and he says, finish it, I'm just getting started, or something like that. And and the Santa, who we learn is Father Grunderson the fifth, because their first name is Father,
of course, and there's a reason for that.
And they start, he's like, suck out my soul. And
continue the cycle.
And then he starts bashing him with the hammer as, like, the yellow light leaves the Santa's mouth and appears in Father Grunderson's eyes.
Ah.
Opening credits start to play as we see Father Grunderson cutting his dad up into little pieces.
Oh yeah, because he's following the instructions in the book he has flipped open that says instructions for turning corpses into gnomes.
Yep. The Grundernomicon.
Yes. But yes, the reason that they are called Father is because there are 7 ranks in the Order of Mithras, and Father is the top.
And then he says, all hail Mithras. Opening credits play. One of my favorite parts in the opening credits is when it starts doing the rolls. Like, yeah. It says in gnome particular order.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Excellent pun. And then we see the ritual come to an end. And CGI gnome appears on screen.
And boy, is it bad.
Title card and dancing CGI gnomes above it.
Anybody who was unfortunate enough to go check out Bigfoot versus Krampus will recognize this computer-generated effect.
18 years later, 7 days till Christmas Eve. Father Pete Grunderson the seventh,
yes, yes,
arrives home and finds his parents' house a mess. The front yard's kind of ransacked. The fridge is stocked mostly only with eggnog. And there's like, I think some meat that went bad a couple days ago. The heels of the bread, like a loaf of bread.
You know, Jay, he arrived at the house. I really hope we don't have to have a dream flashback sequence explaining how he arrived at the house.
Oh, Jeff, it's coming.
You know, a reasonable person could assume, you know, he took a cab to the house, but
he can't find his mom. So he goes to look for his dad in the shed. Then we get immediately a flashback back to 18 years ago. And a young nerdy Pete is looking for Grandpa. It has been 7 days since Grandpa went missing. And he also wants his dad to go to the Christmas craft fair to see his emo Christmas band, the Pain Deer, perform.
Yes, yes.
Jeff, I want a Pain Deer shirt. I
mean, get in contact. I'm sure they got one.
His dad tells him he won't. Basically, his dad tells him he won't be good at anything. He's not going to go see it because you only wrote a couple songs. I wrote a whole rock opera when I was in high school.
Exactly.
And he says, I'll show you. I'm moving to L.A. to become a famous actor.
And you'll fail at that, too.
And his dad says, you are so scared you won't even step foot in this shed. And then we go back to modern day and Pete is still too scared to go into the shed. Pete pulls on a Christmas sweater, makes himself a sandwich with what's left, grabs a large carton of eggnog and watches his commercial for G'day Bidet. And falls asleep in a chair waiting for his parents.
Keeps you clean down under.
Good night, day. Keeps you clean down under. And he just watches it like three or four times in a row.
They need a real Australian.
We cut to Tony Raven's house where Tony Raven is also asleep.
Oh, boy.
As Jill and Jackie do an expose on the cult of Mithras. a rival cult of Christianity. And they were pagans, but also Christmas California was also founded by the same pagans.
Oh yeah, you know, Jay, we were lousy with pagans when California was settled.
There's also the town is very clearly a cult. Like yes. every single like listener, it's building to this big reveal, but it's so obvious. Like yes. Even the FBI agents at one point they're like well, they're clearly part of a cult.
Obviously, it's a cult and they're laundering money, but we're trying to figure out what else is going on here.
Also Tony Raven is the new lead singer of the Pain Deer. We will learn he replaced Pete when Pete left town.
And everybody loves him, and he's way better at it than Pete was.
Outside, the new Santa Slasher, who's Father Grunderson the Sixth, is talking to a gnome about doing the seven sleighs to unlock the secrets of Mithras.
Yes, yes.
On December 25th, Mithric New Year. The gnome climbs up to the roof and goes down the chimney because it's Christmas and locks the door, letting the Santa Slasher into the house.
He climbs about halfway up the drain pipe and then somebody grabs him with their mouse, drags him up to the roof and puts him down the chimney.
Also, I love that like the gnomes are gnome sized, but the perspective is so bad that sometimes they just look like they're the same size as normal people.
I was going to say, sometimes they look like they're the same size as Santa. Sometimes they look like they're like minuscule, like an inch tall.
The gnome ties up Tony Raven with tinsel and lights and then starts to strangle him as a like MIDI version of Carol of the Bells plays. Tony Raven gets up and fights off the gnome just to get stabbed with the candy cane. Ooh. And his soul sucked out by Father Grunderson the Sixth, Santa Slasher. Jill and Jackie are still on the TV, and then they both like turn. They're like, you know, do you think anyone in our town's a pagan? Well, I am. Oh, I am too. All hail Mithras.
Yep. 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 Yep.
The FBI is investigating the murder. And they think there's a new Santa Slasher around. When acting Sheriff Alex shows up to give them his 2 cents about how maybe it's a catfish.
He's been acting sheriff for 3 years.
Until they can find someone better. Says that this should be his case. The FBI shouldn't be involved. Father Grunderson the Sixth shows up at his house to find Pete asleep. And the gnome, who we learn is Father Grunderson the Fifth, says that Father Grunderson the Sixth can't kill him because that's not how the legacy gets passed on. And Father Grunderson the Sixth is like, He's 6'2", I'm 6'6". He'll never grow a beard this luxurious.
Exactly. Why pass on my... See, this is the problem you always run into in these cults. You don't want to pass on the power to somebody else.
Father Gregerson the Fifth, the gnome, I'm going to call him Grandpa Gnome, probably.
Yeah, you might as well.
Tells the Sixth that he can't eat food anymore.
Can only drink eggnog.
He can only feed on blood, fear, and eggnog. And Father Gregerson the Sixth goes, "Nog bless." Also, the reason we know this is he then goes to take a bite of Pete's sandwich and then immediately pukes in Pete's duffel bag.
Yeah.
Pete wakes up, puts his hand in his duffel bag, discovers that there's vomit inside of it, and goes to wash it off. When a possessed Grandpa Gnome bites Pete on the leg, so he has to run to the bathroom and he puts a nasal strip on the wound instead of a band-aid, and then proceeds to do two separate gauze wraps to bandage it up.
Yes, for one gnome bite.
Pete goes and sits down, turns on the 4 a.m. news, his favorite news cycle.
That is my favorite news cycle.
And learns of Tony Raven's murder. Pete is, I guess, a little freaked out by the Santa Slasher still being around, and locks the front door and falls asleep as his dad watches him.
As I say, of course, we already know the Santa Slasher is in the house.
18 hours earlier in Hollywood.
Oh, my God.
Pete gets a call from his agent telling him he's dropping him. I'm dropping all my clients, in fact. I'm switching to true crime.
We did an episode about that, Jay.
We get a funny gag where Pete's basically like apartment is just like a little alcove in the attic of a house.
Yeah. Classic LA.
Pete is doing a ride share since his agent just dropped him. And Guy, who hosts a TikTok.
It's either a Twitch stream or a TikTok or something.
Called Ride Scares, where he gets in people who have zero stars on Rideshare to check it out. Things that happen. Immediately, Pete's car runs out of gas.
Oh, his seatbelt doesn't work.
His seatbelt doesn't work.
Car stinks.
And then his parents call and
proceed to humiliate him.
Yep. All while on a live stream. And Pete basically, like, he's like, "I hate Christmas." And his mom's like, "The town or the holiday?"
Or the concept.
And then Father Gregerson says, "You're killing this whole family."
Yeah. Which he's already done.
Yep. And I think mutters something about, like, "If that's what you want." And then the phone disconnects due to Pete's lack of paying his phone bill. Guy, who hosts Ride Scares, basically feels bad for Pete and offers to buy him a bus ticket home.
Well, you know, he probably made 10 grand off that live stream.
So oh, I'm sure.
I could buy you a bus ticket.
6 days till Christmas Eve. Pete wakes up, drinks some eggnog, and he's like, we get kind of like the classic, like, "Oh, I'm back in my hometown. Oh, not much has changed." He waves at Terry, one of his neighbors. He waves at Lorraine, another one of his neighbors. Nerdy. And he's like, "Hi, Grandpa Gnome. Grandpa Gnome!"
And then he fades away.
And he runs outside to chase after, but Grandpa Gnome's not there.
Oh, boy.
Pete chats with Terry, Lorraine, and Al, the guy who
does Christmas decorations for a living.
And they basically, they're like, "The Santa Slasher struck last night. Pete, when did you get in town?"
"Just last night." "Your family's missing?"
"Your family's missing." And they're like, they're basically like heavily implying they think he's the Santa Slasher. And then they're like, "Nah, we're just kidding."
Then they go back to assuming.
"Pete, we know you're an idiot. We know you couldn't do any of this stuff. You're so pathetic." Pete orders a burrito. Lorraine also mentions that, like, "Oh, your dad's missing, but I bought an ornament." And she's like, "I've got the money right here." And Pete just takes the money. He's like, "I'll find your ornament for you."
An important detail to note there is she says, "Your dad only takes cash, mostly." "He takes something else. We'll find out later."
So Pete uses an app to order a burrito, which is delivered by Anne, his ex.
Damn.
And he's like, "Anne." And she's like, pretends like she doesn't know him. And he's like, "It's me, Pete. We went to prom together." She's like, "Oh, you're that asshole."
He starts off with, we grew up together. You had to be more specific. "We went to high school together. We went to prom together." "Oh, yeah. Okay."
So she's like, "I never want to see you again." So she leaves. Not Pete sits down to eat his burrito again. Knock at the door.
Weed delivery.
It's Anne again. This time delivering weed. And Pete's like, oh, and what is it, like, reluctant hero strain?
Yes.
And then he goes, and he sits back down, he's about ready to eat his burrito again, knock on the door. It's Anne a third time, and she's like, have you thought about changing your internet service provider?
That happened to us.
It did. And then he closes the door, and then he sits down to eat his burrito again, and then Anne walks in through the front door. Oh, I'm house-sitting for your parents while they're out of town.
I have a key.
I
have a husband and a family. Oh, I'm happy for you. We're not married anymore.
Yeah. He became too obsessed with the lizard people hoarding all the nutmeg,
which he's allergic to, by the way. He vomits blood, but don't worry about that.
She says Pete's family went to LA to visit him. And he came to Christmas to see them. Classic holiday mix-up.
Crazy.
And Anne also says she's divorced now, but she is looking to recast. And also, it turns out, we'll learn in a little bit, but her husband is Alex, the acting sheriff.
Oh, and by the way, Jay, casting is wide open.
Anne and Pete go back to the shed, where Pete finally goes inside and starts finishing the unfinished ornaments, because there's a large list of ornaments that need to be finished. So he can make some money. Father Grunderson the Sixth and Grandpa Gnome try to get the bones from beside the shed, but Pete notices the bones, not them. And also Lorraine stops by to get her ornament and offers Pete a chance to make their ends meet.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, she's like, sometimes your dad will take things in exchange for ornaments. And he's like, Dad?
Pete lays out the bones, and he finds three skeletons, assuming there are his parents killed by the Santa slasher. So he calls the cops, and acting Sheriff Alex arrives,
and he's immediately skeptical. Are you sure these are real bones?
they look like Halloween decorations. Someone spray painted them gold. And then Alex immediately jumps to, well, your whole family's missing. And there's three skeletons here, and he pulls out his gun.
Yeah.
Get down! And he goes to arrest him, and he's go, I'm going to put my gun on my back while I put my handcuffs on.
I'm going
to
rest my gun on your back.
And then he's like rubbing the gun on the side of like Alex's face and stuff. And then on the side of Pete's face. And then at one point, Alex is like, you know what, Pete? I believe you. He's like, look, we got to pick these up. And then he's like, oh yeah, your handcuffs. Yeah.
Well, yeah, what stops him is because earlier his ex told him, you know, oh, he's always saying that you guys were BFFs. It's like, we weren't BFFs. He was my understudy. And then so, yeah, when he's handcuffed with a gun to his head, he's like, come on, man, we're BFFs. It's like, we were, weren't we?
But Pete has to promise Alex that he won't tell the FBI because this is his case.
This is my case.
Father Grunderson the Sixth and Papa Gnome go to Lorraine's house and murder her while she's in the shower.
Well, it's pretty easy because she thinks he's here there for another reason.
Yeah. She's like, oh, Daddy's here. And he's like, it's not Daddy. It's Father Grunderson, like my father before me and his father, all the way back to great, 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 great grandfather Grunderson.
So your grandfather? Yes.
Five days until Christmas Eve. Pete stops by Anne's house, but instead of Anne being there, it's Carla, who was Anne's understudy.
Yes.
in high school.
Good thing both of our understudies are here. I hope they don't fall in love by the end of the movie.
And listener, for Carla, just think Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah,
that is the performance she is giving. Anne stops by and agrees to help Pete tomorrow, but today she is running the Christmas craft fair.
Yeah, I hope there's not a massacre at this Christmas craft fair, Jay.
Thank God there's not.
I mean, there's a similar plot going on, honestly.
This is everything that Christmas craft fair massacre could have been. Father Grunderson the Sixth calls Pete and he talks to his mom and his sister, who tell him that they're in LA and having a great time. And they're like, Pete, you know what? Just stay there. You know, we've already paid for the hotel. And, you know, his dad's even like, you know what, son? Just sell all the ornaments and take the money. Like, it'll be fine. And what Pete doesn't know is that his mother and sister are dead. And he was talking to gnomes.
They're gnomes made from their remains. And his dad's like, I can't believe that worked.
Acting Sheriff Alex stops by and offers Pete a bunch of drugs from the lockup.
I stole these from the evidence locker, so you'd think I was cool.
So they can try and crack the case. They need to get on another level spiritually.
I like the forecast has some snow in it today.
I need a blizzard for my schnoz. We then cut to Terry's house. Mom and sister gnome trip Terry while he's on his way, like, taking meats to his grill. They trip him with Christmas lights, and he falls face first onto the grill. Grandpa gnome then jumps down from a tree, shutting the lid on his face. And then Father Gunderson walks out and sucks Terry's soul out of his body.
I mean, Terry died doing what he loved, grilling meats.
Yep. back at Pete's, Alex has taken a bunch of drugs and then climbs a ladder because he's got to get higher.
Exactly. We need to see clearly here, Jay. We need to get higher.
He then confesses that the reason he was Pete's friend at all was so that he could steal Pete's mom's underwear.
I really wanted to bang your mom. Had like 13 pairs.
I had 2 cents from her boss bitch face.
Yes. Good smelling.
And then Alex leaves. He leaves. He's like, we were never friends. And then he walks back and he's like, I'm sorry about that, buddy.
Yeah,
we were friends. Mom Gnome is outside the house
in a bikini
and talks to Alex.
Trying to lure him in with her feminine wiles.
Because he took the pinky from her skeleton. They need the whole skeleton. He took it to do DNA research. So he's like, oh, this is yours, huh? And he swallows it. And so then Mom Gnome jumps at him and starts like clawing at his face. And he screams. Pete walks outside to find Alex's bloody shirt on the ground.
Yep. Which, as we'll learn later, is not unusual.
4 days till Christmas Eve. The FBI stops by and interrogates Pete, letting him know that he is a suspect, and that if he even farts in the shower, they'll know about it.
We'll smell it.
We'll smell it.
And they're saying they have the technology to sniff me in the shower? Oh, they do.
Anne comes by and they talk about Alex's bloody shirt, and Anne just says, yeah, he does that. That's just normal Thursday for him. Mm. Al's house. Deck the Halls plays as the gnomes string Al up with like a bunch of like tinsel and garland. And then Father Gunderson the Sixth sucks his soul out and says, glad we got this chance to hang out.
Oh,
love those puns. Also, fucking love the FBI agents. Yeah. Hops and Daryl. 3 days, the FBI agents watch. It's this amazing scene. I couldn't even figure out how to write it down. The FBI agents have rented out
a parking space in the driveway.
Carla and Ann's driveway so they can watch Pete's house across the street. And so they're sitting inside, and then Carla and Ann walk in front of the car, and they're like, do you think those bozos know that we're in a cult? Like, we gotta do this stuff. And they're like, no, they have no idea what's going on. Cut to the inside where they're like, they're clearly in a cult laundering money.
And they're like, do you think those bozos know we know they're in a cult and laundering money through their craft fair? Probably not.
We get a great moment where I think Hops is like, oh, I forgot. We got these. And he holds up 2 sets of little kid clothes.
Twins.
Just like our dream board. And Agents Daryl and Hops got their wish. They were going to be able to adopt. They were going to be great dads, Jeff.
Nah, not anymore. Shouldn't have fucked with those gnomes.
Pete is working on ornaments as Anne stops by and convinces Pete to go day drinking and make out with her in public. His 2 favorite things.
Boy, I hope this isn't leading up to her fucking him in the Mithra shed to conceive the next heir.
No. The FBI agents see Father Gunderson the Sixth, dressed as the Santa Slasher, go into the house.
Jay, since when did you start paying attention?
And they try to catch him, but Mom and Sister Gnomes start fighting with them so Six can find the Grundernomicon.
Yes, they're doing some very convincing CGI battling too.
It is truly epic. Pete and Anne go into like the middle of a field and kiss, which makes like electricity charge in the area, and then makes a bunch of sprinklers go off, which then makes Anne yell at Pete because doesn't he know that we're in a drought? And he's like, I didn't even do this. Back at the shed, the gnomes are able to confuse the agents, so they wind up shooting each other in the head.
Yes.
Bullet wounds, middle of the head. They both turn and look at each other. Nothing. And basically like, you were a great agent, and I love you, man. And they go to fist bump, but they die before they're able to. And then Father Grunderson walks out with the Grundernomicon, but he can't take their souls because they're already dead.
Oh.
Pete and Anne get back to the shed.
Oh, don't forget. Anne says, I need to get to the shower. I'm too wet.
I'm really wet from the sprinkler. But Pete just wants to get back to work making the ornaments. Anne and Pete then fuck in the shed. And she's like, I need you to get me pregnant. And he's like...
Metaphorically?
Sure, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And more lightning, and Pete says, oh, my sweet chimney!
Yep. That does happen.
Oh, my boy Pete.
He's a real J-type.
Santa Sam, someone we've never seen before. We will later learn he's the Santa at the craft fair, is about to be run over by a car being driven by the three gnomes, but he pulls out his katana...
Yes.
To fight it off. But then the gnomes just drive at a high speed and crush his body in between the car and the fence.
But
and then Santa, Father Grunderson, the Santa Slasher, just walks up behind him and takes his soul.
Well, not exactly, Jay. I think you're underselling it a little bit. He says, ah, Santa, an honorable death. And then Father Grunderson the Sixth speaks to him in Japanese, telling him how he was claiming his soul and it was an honor to die at his hand. And then he goes, if only I could speak Japanese.
Also, I think I have the quote, but Santa Sam says something like, I let down my dojo at the rec room.
Yes, he does say that. And then, of course, after the gnomes get out of the car after running him over, Father the Sixth is like, guess you guys got your driver's license
to kill.
Yeah.
2 days. Anne and Pete are making ornaments kind of ghost style.
Yes.
That Righteous Brothers song is not playing in the background, but...
You can imagine.
You can imagine it. As Carla comes in and says, you had sex in here, didn't you? And Pete says, twice. And Anne corrects him, one and a half times. Anyways, she tells them about Santa Sam's death and how that means that the community center's closed down. But good thing Pete's got all this space in his backyard. And basically that they were using Pete. They were planning on having the craft fair at Pete's house anyway. And Pete, feeling this betrayal, tells them both to leave. Mom and Sister Gnome then reveal themselves and fill Pete in on everything, and how Father Grunderson's plan to unleash hell on Earth. So they need to come up with a plan. Cut to a very funny gag where it's daytime and then it switches to nighttime and then it's Pete inside and he goes, what a great plan.
Yes, yes.
Alex then shows up. Turns out Anne was right, and he wasn't dead. He was just high on drugs.
Oh, and he also knew about the cult the entire time, but didn't say anything because how would he pay his rent?
And also, he's like, I got clean. You're off drugs? No, I went and took a shower and shaved.
And then after,
also I'm sober.
Yes, and then he's like, and then I'm sober. But yeah, it turns out he knew the entire time, but if he didn't have Anne to pay his rent and on his doghouse.
Alex also tells Pete that the Grunderson family shed was the first building in Christmas, California, and that every Grunderson male is conceived in that shed. And Pete looks at his mom and she's like, you didn't know?
Oh, and she also explains that when she was stripping for Alex, that was mind control.
Yep.
And he was visibly disappointed.
And listener, just in case you forgot, Pete fucked Anne in the shed. That means the new Grunderson son will be born.
It's brewing.
The plan is that they're going to rig the cult's bingo game, steal all the money that they're laundering, and then leave town before the gnome apocalypse can happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and our two understudies start their story together, too.
One day till Christmas Eve. I guess it is Christmas Eve. I don't know.
It must be Christmas Eve. It's one day till Christmas.
The craft fair is in Pete's backyard. Jill and Jackie show up and let us know that it is unknown who the Santa Slasher killed last night, but the Santa Slasher did kill someone.
Gee, I mean, what? How do they know that, Jay?
We then get a selling stuff montage.
Oh, yeah.
Including two people who are just selling stuff that's going to Tony Raven's, like, memorial.
Yep. And people paying $500,000 for an ornament, you know, that kind of thing.
Amazing.
Totally not money laundering.
And then the whole time, like, Pete keeps trying to, like, keep some money for himself, and Ann just keeps taking the money away from him and, like, putting it in this jar.
Marriage, am I right?
acting Sheriff Alex shows up, and they put their plan in motion at the bingo game. They're going to use Pete's telekinesis with the gnomes that he inherited through, you know, the legacy connection to see what numbers Alex needs on the bingo. Am I getting this right? Yeah, I'm getting this right.
Yes,
yes. Alex then wins 7 games of bingo, getting all the money. But the cult members know something is up and tell Pete that it is his destiny to kill his dad and repeat the cycle to usher in Mithras and the gnomepocalypse. Pete agrees and tells Alex, who's going to take the money, and he blabs about all of this. Then the gnomes show up with a gun and tell Pete to stop and tell Alex to run.
The cult members, by the way, they don't just, like, confront them about cheating. They're like, we knew about your plan to rig the bingo.
Then Grandpa Gnome shows up and he says,
I'm proud.
He's proud of Pete for following his destiny. He's like, thank you. At least someone in this family is.
I mean, honestly, it's not a bad destiny.
Then Jackie and Jill reveal that they were the ones killed by the Santa Slasher,
because
and that he was pretending to be them the whole time.
They put it because it is the Santa Slasher.
Father Grunderson says that he can go against the Grundernomicon because it's full of loopholes, and you would know that if you'd read the whole thing, to which Grandpa Gnome says he never got past the first chapter.
Classic. Never read the sacred text.
Father Grunderson possesses everyone, knocks out the Clara and Alex, and then possesses everyone. Pete grabs the knife and goes to stab Father Grunderson, but he just knocks him out with a slap, with a backhanded slap.
Proving once again, he's a disappointing bitch son.
Pete comes to tied to a Christmas tree so he can be sacrificed. Six then starts to perform his rock opera from high school, but is pissed at how bad everyone did it at singing their part. I mean,
to be fair, they're singing terribly, Jay.
So he takes all their souls and makes all of their heads explode, including Gnome Family.
Yes.
And then leaves
Gnome Family,
which leaves only him, Pete, and Anne. Carla and Alex come to and decide to help Pete and Anne.
Of course, that goes about as well as you'd expect.
Anne is about to kill Pete, but his patheticness overwhelms the possession. And his patheticness turns out that's his special skill.
True.
He makes her come to. She stabs Six with the candy cane, but is about to try to take his soul, which gives him a chance to regain control of the situation. Father Grunderson the Sixth starts to electrocute Pete with magic powers, where it's, think, like, I don't know, Tim and Eric Awesome Show, great job. Like, they just drag and drop, like, I mean, Father Grunderson into the sky.
It's the same way that they put the gnome in the chimney. It's just, it's somebody using Photoshop on screen, basically.
And then he starts shooting electricity at Pete, and Pete responds from the gnome bite, turning into a giant gnome himself. And an epic battle ensues.
Obviously, Jay, they set it up earlier. He was going to be a were-gnome.
With lightning bolts and a giant gnome. And then Pete is eventually able to grab Father Grunderson the Sixth. And he stabs him on top of the Christmas tree like a giant angel on top of the Christmas tree. And then he de-transforms into normal Pete. Pete and Anne kiss as the credits start to roll and it freeze frames just for Carla and Alex to show up in SWAT gear, having missed the whole fight. Pete then uses Alex's phone, because remember, his phone doesn't work. He hasn't paid his phone bill. And calls his agent and tells him that he has a true crime story. And he's like, I'll send you the paperwork.
And he's like, did you kill somebody or did you witness it?
Both.
All right. Now we have to go. Do you know what plausible deniability is?
Black screen, more credits roll as the Gnome Sick theme song, rock theme song plays.
Gnome Sick.
Gnome Sick.
Gnome Sick.
Anyways, that's the end of the movie.
And anyway, I want to point out that much like at the end of Rise of Skywalker, Jay, Pete did exactly what he was supposed to do and killed his father. So does that mean the cycle continues?
Yep, the cycle. That's my assumption. In 18 years, we will get Gnome Sick too.
Exactly.
We can only hope. God, what if we do? Oh, my God.
I mean, it would make sense to rip off the end of the worst Star Wars movie for gnomes.
I mean, yeah. The only thing that the worst Star Wars movie has on this is Babu Frick. And I guess Lando. I think Lando's in that shitty movie, right?
I think Babu Frick is kind of a gnome.
It's true. These gnomes are better than Babu Frick.
It's true.
All right, you got any thoughts before we...
Oh, Jay, there are so many thoughts about this. Like I said, I think this is probably the closest to a live-action Bigfoot versus Krampus we'll ever get, especially because it treats you like you already know all this lore, and you feel like you've missed several other movies. This feels like the end of a series.
My favorite is like... At this point, we've pretty much been able to piece everything together, and then we have to reiterate it because Pete has no idea what's going on.
Oh, it's that kind of amazing storytelling you only get in this kind of movie, Jay. Where you can watch the movie knowing everything and nothing and get basically the same thing out of it.
Jeff, from like the opening minute when I saw Jill Gilson and Jackie Jackson co-lead anchor and lead co-anchor, I went, this movie's for me.
The thing that got me was they were broadcasting on the TV and then they switched to the radio, and it's just same people on the same show. That and the father, the sixth or no fifth, sneaking up, and then he steps on that thing, and then the alarm clock goes off to cover up the sound at the same time.
Oh my God.
I was like, yeah, it's going to be this kind of movie, isn't it?
All right, Jeff, Christmas Carol's favorite quotes. I've got a ton of them.
He only takes money, mostly.
Holly jolly generational trauma, Jackie. That's Jill Gilson.
Daddy's here. It's father.
Pete, guess who's back in Christmas for Christmas? Pete, you'll be happy to say g'day bidet when the spray hits you down under. Pete's commercial for g'day bidet, the shitty bidets.
I mean, you entertain my viewers. I could buy you a bus ticket.
Oh, you're the g'day bidet guy when the spray hits you down under.
Will you say it? Will you say the thing? No. Don't do the voice. It's cultural appropriation. That's not cool these days.
Acting Sheriff Alex, I think it's a catfish. Did you consider that? Agent Daryl, do you mean copycat? Acting Sheriff Alex, did I not say copycat?
No.
It's because I got catfished.
I did get catfished once. That could be what I was thinking of, yeah. Oh, I'd say an ornament like this is worth 500,000. Sold.
Acting or Agent Daryl to Agent Hops after acting Sheriff Alex leaves. Do you think we could make it look like an accident if we killed that guy? And then Agent Hops goes, that guy's whole life is an accident.
Probably a real FBI conversation that happens.
I'm sure it is. That's what's going to happen to us. It's going to look like an accident.
You think those morons have any idea that we're in a cult laundering money through our craft fair? Man, you think it was wrong to rent out space in the driveway of the cult we're investigating for laundering money?
That's my thing. I flip scripts. I'm a script flipper. Father Grunderson the Sixth.
Basically, I was going to say, you can basically quote every line that Father Grunderson the Sixth says.
Yoga, that's a stretch, Father Grunderson the Sixth.
Yep.
When Al, the neighbor, shows up, because they're talking about how the Santa Slasher's back, and then Al's like, what are you guys all talking about? The Santa Slasher's back. I don't really do news.
Yeah. Auditions are open. wide open.
I'm bold. I'm brazen. I'm barbecue flavored. I'm all the B words, Father Grunderson the Sixth.
I'm just doing this to make ends meet. Well, if you want our ends to meet, let me know.
Yes, I'll have a blizzard served right up my schnoz, Acting Sheriff Alex.
It's like the forecast is for snow, Pete.
Reindeer nuts, that's hot, Terry, as he's getting barbecued alive.
Listen, Terry died doing what he loved, grilling.
Do not tell anyone you saw surveilling you, please, Agent Hobbs to Carla. What could be more responsible than day drinking and making out with me in public? And
come on, understudies have to stick together. Don't you remember when we sabotaged the prom? That didn't happen.
You mess with the reindeer, you get the horns, Santa Sam.
Yes. This. Ah, Santa, an honorable death. Japanese monologue. If only I spoke Japanese.
I've dishonored my rec center dojo. Sensei was right.
Looks like you gnomes got your driver's license to kill.
Then my last one's from Carla. Santa's killing Santas. It's a sad year for Christmas.
No one knows who the Santa slasher is, only that he's claimed 6 victims. Oh, well, it only happens every couple decades.
Oh, my God. What a movie. All right. Let's do Broken Bulb, Brilliant Bulb. One thing you want to fix, one thing you want to praise.
Hoo boy. Well, you want to go first or me?
You can go first if you want.
All right. My broken bulb is, I believe, the same thing that Jay is going to say. They have a custom-made theme song and never use it.
Yep.
It is such a good theme song.
It is. Jeff, it is in all the advertising. It is in the trailer that I sent you.
But not in the movie. What the hell is going on?
I was expecting it to play so many times. I'm just sitting there. I'm like, when am I going to get my gnome sick?
It should literally be the entire movie soundtrack. They could do it. They did it with the Misty Mountain song in the first Hobbit movie, Jay. The entire soundtrack is just variations on that. They could do variations. They need to release a cut of this movie that has the soundtrack.
Certainly. Certainly, like, during the epic fight at the end.
Final battle, they could have done it. I mean, anytime Father Grunderson the Sixth is killing somebody, they should have the theme playing.
Agreed.
Or, you know, like, they could have weaved it into so many things. Like, have it when he's working in the shed, like, the theme song comes on the radio.
Or like, oh, that's weird.
Or, like, pause for an advertisement break on the TV, and then the theme song plays.
Another one. It's mostly that. It's mostly more gnome sick theme song. Mm-hmm. I will say, once we don't know what the budget is. They filmed in California. This movie is incredibly Hallmarky. Like this, yes. This feels very like all the stuff feels very much like
Letters to Satan Claus.
Mm-hmm. The one thing this is missing that is the snow on the ground. I understand them not being able to. If we like, I feel like I'm splitting hairs, being like, oh, I would like to see some snow. Like that. That's but mostly gnome sick theme song.
I mean. It was right there. They had it. They already had the song, Jay. I'm telling you. If anybody associated with this production listens to this episode, please release a cut of the movie with the soundtrack edited in at key points. Please.
Brilliant Bulb. Thing you want to praise.
Honestly, it's the same thing that I have praised movies. See, this is what I don't get. Like, this movie is widely regarded as so bad it's good. But it takes a lot of the same beats as, like, your Bikini Bloodbath Christmas or some of the other things we've seen where it's, like, the over-the-top parody constantly. And I just wanted to say, these actors, for not being any kind of notable actors, do a really good job walking the line between parody and keeping the story moving forward. Because I think it's really easy, especially in some of the movies we've seen, to get bogged down too much in the parody aspect and too much winking at the camera.
Yeah, there's no like noticeable like, can you believe this stupid shit we're doing? Everyone plays it straight. Yes,
they're doing it like realistic characters within the world, which I think takes a certain level of talent to pull off. Because yes, the temptation, like we've seen in certain other films. Like Bikini Bloodbath Christmas, is that people are openly like, yes, we're doing something that's really, really dumb.
Yep.
But this movie never treats it that way, and I appreciated that because it makes it a lot easier to enjoy.
It doesn't like bring it down. It doesn't like bring down the level. It does kind of like for a movie this weird and stupid and bad. Like, and I mean that in all the best ways. It brings you up to its level.
Yes, it treats it like an actual movie and not like a parody movie.
My brilliant bulb, the thing I want to praise, director Mike L. Taylor, writer director. I could have never come up with something like in my wildest dreams. I would have never thought of something like this. I think there's a possibility if you and I like sat down to do something, we could come up with something like Two Front Teeth if Two Front Teeth didn't exist.
Probably.
I don't maybe not exactly that, but something similar. Like it's that kind of thing already exists. And hell, that's the fucking third Tim Allen Santa Claus movie, mm-hmm. kind of.
Yeah.
Like, I would have never thought of this. Like, props to you, Michael Taylor. Like, this is brilliant. Like, this is fucking fantastic.
Bold, by the way, too. I think that's the problem that some people have with this, is I never thought I'd say this about a movie called Gnome 6, Seven Slaves Till Mithras, but I think the concept might be a little too cerebral for some of the viewers.
I think there's
I know. A
good chance of that.
I don't think they understand the whole cult of Mithras angle, which I appreciate. As a man who spends a lot of time thinking about the Roman Empire, I appreciated the cult of Mithras mention.
I thought it was so great. I even I even went to the trouble of being like, okay, like, let's just kind of like look into this. Like I recognized the name, and then I went and looked. I'm like, no, they're even right. Like December 25th yes. was Mithras Day or whatever.
And they there was a sizable purge, as they mentioned in the movie. Christians basically purged every trace they could find of the cult of Mithras because they saw it as a competing religion. Because I mean, a lot of similarities.
Jeff, Christmas wrapping, sets, costumes, etc. Things you liked, things you didn't like.
I mean, this is an area where this movie is not going to excel because its budget was like probably between $10 and $20. But I mean, nobody looks like so bad that it takes you out of the movie, but no real memorable costumes. Although I will say that the Santa suit they used was pretty good.
I think both Santa suits look solid because Pete also then gets dressed in a Santa suit.
It's not the standard Santa suit that you buy at like Spirit Halloween or whatever. Well, I guess Spirit Christmas now.
Yeah.
It's not your standard like dollar store Santa suit. It's like an actual nice pagan style Santa suit.
Jeff, there was CGI blood that looked it looked bad. It's CGI blood.
I mean, all the CGI in this movie looks very bad,
and the gnomes look bad. By the end of the movie, I fucking loved them. And when Pete goes, gnome family, as he watches this gnome family get their heads exploded, I was also sad because I went, there's probably going to be no more gnomes in my gnome movie.
It's kind of like you get used to the bad effect over time. Because when you're watching a movie, if it's a good movie like this, you could suspend your disbelief so that it doesn't matter to you. Now, if it's a bad movie, that's when it starts to drag it down right. even more.
Even though like it's a very small cast and crew, The town felt lived in. The town felt very big. Like it did that feel like there were a lot of people. Well,
that was one of the meta moments that they acknowledged the small scale and budget of the movie was when they're like, we'll just hold the craft fair here. And then Alex is like, well, that's convenient.
Yeah.
Like, oh, good. We don't have to pay for another location.
I loved the Gnome Sick theme song, as you and I have both said.
Like I said, that is this movie's biggest crime, is not using the theme song.
Every day, Pete puts on a new, like, every day it'll do the thing where it'll say, like, 6 days till Mithra, or till Christmas Eve, 5 days till Christmas Eve. And every day, it starts with Pete going into his closet and putting on a new Christmas sweater. Yeah. And I loved that, I both loved that gag, and I loved all the sweaters he was wearing. Santa slasher costume, just like you said. And then Anne gets changed into like a, like almost like a Christkind, like kind of like, you know, golden angel child kind of outfit, but it's like red Santa, like almost like a bustier within like garland, both as like a crown but also like on her dress. I thought that was such a cool look. And when they all get possessed and have like the white eyes, I thought that actually looked really cool and kind of creepy.
Yeah, especially that last like big possession where he gets everybody. I thought that worked pretty well.
Yeah. Anything else for Christmas wrapping?
You know what didn't work very well? That giant CGI gnome at the end. Ooh.
It had like a bunch of weird cracks in it.
I was going to say, it was clearly like they stretched the model like onto something else, like a pre-rendered asset, and they're making it work. And the way that he turns to grab the Father of the Sixth is so like stiff and slow, and his fingers like close one by one on him.
Also, I loved when he slams him down on top of the tree. Father of the Sixth body just disappears, yep. And it's just a bloody Santa suit now at the top of the tree.
Yep.
All right, Christmas,
great effect.
Christmas spirit. How Christmassy is the movie? How Christmassy are the kills?
I mean, in a way, very Christmassy, and in a way, not Christmassy at all. I mean,
yes.
Yeah.
No, this is. I mean, it's a town called Christmas. They're clearly doing the Hallmark thing. It feels very much like a extremely low budget Hallmark movie.
Yes,
and it is, but also. It's sunny out the whole time.
It's sunny out. There's not really many decorations or anything around. It's just, yeah. Because they even make a joke of the fact that the yard is not very well decorated for Christmas.
Kills. Incredibly so. I mean, it's a Santa slasher and two gnomes and, or three gnomes. And every single kill is like themed. I would say with the exception of Santa Sam. But then they're killing a Santa in that scene.
Yeah. I was going to say, you're killing a Santa and the grill one, but he's still getting tripped with like the tinsel and light. Yeah. So
I'd say like pretty high, maybe not like Krampus level, but no, like pretty high.
It's pretty good. Solid kills.
Well, Jeff, it's time for our final rating. Every episode of Horror for the Holidays, we rank our movie on one of three categories. Is it seasonally scary? Is it ho, 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 hilarious? Or is it you'll be sorry? Jeffrey?
I mean, this is pretty much what Ho 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 Hilarious was made for. It's a very funny movie. It doesn't venture into the realms of like your Bikini Bloodbath Christmas where it gets to like ridiculous levels of acknowledging the breaking the fourth wall parody stuff. It rides the line perfectly to be a Ho 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 Hilarious movie. It has enough, although I'd say it does have a few genuinely scary moments, I think, like the possession at the end, I think was well done. I could see somebody being scared of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, it's going for a comedic tone, and it nails it.
I'm with you. Ho 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 Hilarious. In the pantheon of Christmas horror comedies, there's not many like that I think are at this level. It's like this, Silent Night, Deadly Night 2, Two Front Teeth, which yeah. You and I have cited multiple times, and probably Santa's Sleigh.
Yeah.
I think right now, if you, like, gun to my head, if you said Mount Rushmore of Christmas horror comedies, it would be those four. And this is a welcome addition alongside those others. Is the CGI bad? Yes. Is the plot a fever dream of nonsense? Yes. Is the dialogue laughably bad at times? Yes. And that's why I love this movie. I need more gnome sick in my life. I love how goofy the whole movie is and how every person in it treats it seriously. They don't phone it in. They don't like you said, they're not like, can you believe this shit? Mm-hmm. Like, no, they fucking play it straight. This is just the kind of nonsense that I think you and I love. Like. Yes.
This is a perfect example of an enjoyable movie not taking itself too seriously, but taking itself seriously enough you can respect it as a movie and not just like an exercise in bullshit parody.
But Jeff, did you start to think that we're big fat idiots? Fine, we are.
No, Jay. I already told you before, and I'll say it again, especially now because I'm 2026 unapologetic Jeff. I regard the opinions of other critics online as like less than dog shit. And they're all morons. But we can read some of their reviews anyway if you want to.
So one of my favorite things, I think I mentioned this already, but if I haven't, one of my favorite things is that if you go to Grandpa Gnome 1, Grandpa.Gnome 1 on TikTok, you will get the TikTok page for this movie. And I'm going to turn it up. I had my volume turned down. I'm going to turn it up. But this is essentially what you'll hear. But the entire the entire advertising campaign is just like diabolically bad CGI, like the worst ever. Worth its weight in glitter. And just other nonsense like that the whole way. And I fucking love it that they're leading into, hated it, but I'd watch a sequel. Like, yeah. I love this shit. I think this is amazing. I think this is maybe the best advertising campaign for any movie ever.
Really solid marketing.
But yeah, so there's one of my reviews. if you have one you'd like to read, sir.
0 stars. This movie feels like someone dared a group of sleep-deprived film students to make something random and then forgot to give them a script. Gnome Sick is a blur of noise, jokes that die on impact, and CGI that looks like it was rendered in a microwave. The cult, the gnomes, the Santa stuff, Mithras, none of it connects into anything resembling a story. It's like watching 6 unfinished movies taped together by Christmas lights.
Boo, you're wrong. Boo. That's the thing. This doesn't feel like a, like, Tim Robinson, like, random, like, or, like, early 2000s comedy. Like, this feels very intentional in the weird shit it's doing. So I found 2 reviews on IMDb. One, I think, is negative for negative's sake, and I'll get to that one next, but this one is a 10 out of 10. The gnomes are really ugly. Watch it. This genuinely might be the worst movie I've ever seen, and that's saying a lot. I watched this with my bedridden grandma, and she loved the movie so much that she pulled her life support. My personal favorite moment was every scene the gnomes were in. I don't know where they got the models for those ugly-ass gnomes, or if they made them themselves, but they add so much character. All the effects are genuinely terrible on a level I've never seen before, and it feels like a 4-hour-long movie. That's why it's my new favorite movie, and when I have kids of my own, I'll make them watch it, and they'll pull their life support, too, just like their great-grandma.
Passing on the legacy. Fitting with the theme.
Yeah. So that's both a positive and a negative review?
1 star, but I'll round down to 0. Gnome Sick is a reminder that enthusiasm alone cannot replace structure, pacing, or coherence. What might have been a charmingly absurd holiday horror instead collapses under the weight of its own chaos. Scenes unfold without purpose, jokes land without timing, and the mythology is introduced with no payoff. It is not so bad it's good. It is simply exhausting.
What aren't people getting? Like, I think the plot's pretty well laid out. It's weird, but like
I said, I think the plot may be too cerebral for the average movie-going audience.
1 out of 10. They reminded me why I'm sick of watching all these bad, and then I assume they had movies and they didn't write it. Gnome 6, 7 Slaves Till Mithras is a chaotic mess from the very start, and honestly, the title alone should have been the first warning. Really? That was what sold me. It's confusing, nonsensical, and immediately sets the tone for a film that never quite knows what it wants to be. The screenplay feels like it was stitched together haphazardly, as though someone threw random ideas onto a page and hoped it would somehow make sense on screen. It does. The plot jumps between bizarre Christmas vibes, odd girl reporters delivering exposition, which is a funny part of the movie, and other inexplicable sequences that never coalesce into anything coherent. There's no rhythm, no logic, just constant motion without purpose. Performances are equally perplexing. The lead actress appears to have been told simply, be animated, without any guidance on aligning her energy with the story or character. When you know that they're in a cult, everything they're doing kind of makes sense. Like, the weird way they all kind of act, I think, makes a lot more sense. It's reminiscent of over-the-top attempts by actors like Adam Sandler, where animation can work if it fits, but here it feels disconnected and forced, leaving you more bewildered than entertained. The direction doesn't help. The filmmaker seems more interested in slapping their name on the project than crafting a watchable film. Well, they also wrote it, so I don't know. There's no cohesion, no attention to tone, and no sense of timing. Every scene feels like it's competing with the next for chaos rather than building any meaningful narrative. In the end, Gnome 6, 7 Days Till Mithras is consistently bad. Writing, acting, and directing all fall short simultaneously, leaving viewers with nothing to latch onto.
Wrap it up.
This one isn't just bad. It's a film that should have stayed in the vault, forgotten rather than celebrated. For anybody considering watching it, save yourself the time. There's no charm, no suspense, and certainly no reason to revisit this cinematic disaster. Jeff, there's been three people who've reviewed this review, and they all gave it a thumb down. This person can go fuck themselves.
I was going to say, you know what else you shouldn't waste your time doing? Reading this long-ass, long-winded review to say, basically, I didn't like the movie.
Movie was bad.
All right. And this is a little bit of an unconventional review. 4 out of 5 stars. Grandma caught me jerking it.
All right.
So, movie was pretty bad, but the neighbor lady was pretty hot. So I had Grok AI generate me some pics of her to beat my meat to.
Oh, no.
Grandma walked in, told me to keep it down. Very embarrassing. But I liked her.
No.
Anyway, I just threw that in there for fun because I ran across that. Because that's the kind of shit we get to see doing this show.
All right. Well, I'm out of reviews.
I was promised horror comedy. 0 stars.
Oh, I bet, Jeff, this is someone who, like, I don't know, likes, what's Pagliacci the Clown or whatever.
Probably.
It watches Frasier because they think that's the funniest show ever made.
I was promised horror comedy. I got neither. Horror requires fear. Comedy requires laughter. Gnomesick provides confusion, secondhand embarrassment, and a growing desire to check how much runtime is left. It feels like a parody of a parody that forgot what it was supposed to be parodying. I was not amused. It'd have been funny if this is the same guy who got caught beating off by his grandma.
I was amused. 10 out of 10.
The film demonstrates a complete disregard for narrative economy, tonal consistency, and visual coherence. Its reliance on randomness replaces storytelling, and its use of mythological references feel decorative rather than meaningful. This is not experimental cinema. It is accidental chaos and filth.
Oh, then I'm a pig boy. Oink, oink, oink. Cover me in this slop.
It's probably one of these Gen Z freaks who thinks anytime you mention sex in a movie is a crime.
The coworker that I went to the haunted house with, the running joke at work is like, anytime we bring up a movie and we're like, man, that movie could have used some nudity or something like that, I'll be like, oh, sorry. Like, Aiden, I know Gen Zers like you. Like, you watch your movie sexless and joyless.
How the hell did the Puritans come back in the 2020s? Right. Day? That's what I want to know.
As the youngest of us?
I know. No sense, but whatever. Oh, and this is a brutally honest one-sentence review, Jay. 0 stars. This movie feels like a fever dream you'd apologize for describing to someone.
Disagree. I would be... Jeff?
I would be thrilled if someone described this to me.
I was going to say, I'd pay for my whole seat, but I'd only use the edge. Are you ready for naughty list?
One more, Jay. Oh,
all right.
This was someone on the r/mythology subreddit who was bringing up this movie, by the way. I am a student of mythology. You don't get to just name drop Mithras and then do absolutely nothing intelligent with the concept, Jay. That's like calling your movie Dracula versus God and then setting it with two old men in a strip mall.
I'd watch that, too.
I was going to say, that's actually...
You know what? Sign me up for Dracula versus God whenever that comes out.
But yes, you don't just get to name... Is this like a 4th century AD cultist or what, Jay? You don't just get to name drop Mithras,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, how dare you?
You haven't earned one of the 7th paths yet, Jay. I'll have you know I'm a scholar. I'm going to work my way up to father one day.
Jeff, where are we going to put the Cult of Mithras / the Santa Slasher on our naughty list? It's near apocalyptic level.
I was going to say pretty high if they pull off the apocalypse, but I mean, even just pretty high if you kill a few people.
If you're killing 7 people every 18 years and this is the 6th person to do it, I'm not going to do that math.
But I mean, even if you just, after he absorbs a couple souls, he's basically like a godlike level of power. He can mind control anybody. He can
create gnomes from dead bodies.
Let's say he knows how to create gnome servants that can disappear into the seventh dimension, obviously. Well,
shoot lightning bolts.
Yes. I mean, he could turn into whatever that giant form he took at the end was, an avatar of Mithras, I'm guessing.
Or a gnome.
Who knows?
Who knows?
But yeah.
Were gnome.
You could do whatever you want, basically. Once you've killed a few people.
I had pretty power, like, maybe like just outside of like our actual apocalypse, because we don't know
what the apocalypse
would be like, and we don't know if the apocalypse is realized. We're assuming, you and I are hoping, in 18 years we'll get the sequel.
I mean, the cycle, he killed his father, so the cycle will continue.
Yeah, the cycle has to continue.
Yeah. But yeah. I'd say because we don't know the extent of the apocalypse, yeah, we can't put it at the same apocalyptic level as some of the other ones, but he's definitely, in any kind of one-on-one fight versus anyone else on the list, I'm pretty sure he just takes it.
Yep.
With the mind control alone.
Yeah, like yeah, I don't know, maybe Satan.
Maybe
like, I don't know, but yeah, that's the only, Satan and like Krampus are... Michael Doherty's Krampus are the only ones.
They'd be on the same tier, probably, of power.
Yep.
It's like, so yeah, what's stronger, Satan or Mithras? We'd have to figure that out.
Exactly. All right. Well, Jeff, it's time to shove some more junk in our faces.
Garbage day!
Huh?
No!
Jeff, I got some Oreos.
Oh, no, you did not. You didn't do it. He's reaching for the Joe Bob cooler.
All right. First things first. Monster voodoo grape. I don't know. It said voodoo. I thought that. I was like, and someone said it's new. So I was like, sure, we'll try that.
Never seen it before. So yeah.
And it's, and voodoo. And that's kind of in track with what we do here.
Yeah. I don't hate it.
Cookie door Oreos.
Oh, thank God. I thought it was another special ordered apocalypse Oreo assortment. Where, by the way, I will note that God himself tried to stop Jay from doing this to me, but he still went ahead and did it anyway. The lady was like, oh, I guess we never shipped your order. Do you just want to cancel it? No, I need my foul-tasting, palate-destroying, weak-ruining Oreos to torture Jeff with.
Like I said... Maybe still our best Garbage Day segment ever.
I mean, a great segment, I'm sure, but terrible for me.
Monster Juice, Monster Energy plus Juice, Voodoo Grape. New Orleans, the birthplace of Louisiana Voodoo. Catch it on the right night and it becomes eerily alive with chanting incantations and dancing pythons to lure your soul from the other side. Stir your own spirit with the real juice taste of Voodoo Grape. I've got friends on the other side. Crafted in the shadows with a full vial of our underworld famous energy blend. Oh my gosh. It will keep you fired up and feeling good without any bad juju. Unleash the beast.
Gotta love the monster can descriptions.
Smells good.
Tastes good.
Tastes like grape.
Yeah, good. Cool. Not bad.
I would get that again. All right, let's all right. All right, Oreo, this is your chance to redeem yourself. And me, I guess.
And you. Not bad. Tastes a little bit of the cookie dough.
I think the only issue I have is cookie dough, I think, always has some grit in it. I think it's like the granulated sugar.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't able to emulate that. Otherwise, like, I think this is a pretty spot-on imitation.
You see how you can tell this is a good Oreo product, Jay? They sell it at the store. They don't ship it to you in a special box for freaks.
I was going to say, you see how you can tell this is a good Oreo product, Jay? We're not complaining about it.
Go out of your way to get those Oreos.
Pretty good. I don't think it's my favorite flavor we've done.
No. But it's not bad.
And it's certainly not cranberry or
stuffing
or apple pie. God, or that turkey.
Fucking turkey, though. That was the worst. I thought stuffing was going to be the worst, and then we tasted turkey.
Creamed corn.
Oh, God, cream. Don't know. Fucking cream corn.
Oh, what an episode. I'd say it's all right. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know, listeners, if you're a Monster fan, I'd say check out Voodoo Grape. I think it's pretty good.
I agree.
I try not to drink energy drinks much anymore, but if I was driving back from something late or something, and I saw that at a gas station, I'd probably get that. I think it's pretty tasty.
I like the Voodoo artwork too. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a neat can. It's got a little Baron Samedi or whatever down at the bottom.
Yep. He's kind of peeking out of the other side over there. Snake going through his eye socket. Got the little Voodoo doll. Pretty cool.
Oh, and also Keith David's here, and he's like, I've got friends on the other side.
What a movie.
I had never seen it until like relatively recently. Now, I'll be damned, Jeff, that might not be one of my favorite Disney movies.
It's really solid movie, and they got a lot of New Orleans people. That's why John Goodman is in it, famous New Orleans guy.
It was one of those for me where I was sitting there, and I'm like, how good could this movie be? Like, Disney always feels so hit or miss.
That's the thing, is you never hear anybody talk about it either.
But I was like, but I love Keith David. I mean, fucking legend. Like, mm-hmm. and so I was like, you know what? I'll check it out. I fucking love Keith David. And I was just sitting there. I'm like, no, this is like I said, this is one of the best Disney movies I've ever seen. Like, I fucking loved Princess and the Frog.
Yep. Really solid. Especially if you have an appreciation for Louisiana culture.
Well, all right. If you want to get in touch with us, send us an email, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. Social media, we're all the places, at horror4holidays. That's horror, the number 4 holidays. Tell us, that Gnome Sick. How dare you recommend Gnome Sick? This thing fucking sucks. I don't know.
So. Yeah, whatever. YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell. Hit the thumbs up. Leave us comments telling us your opinions on things.
Apparently someone stumbled across our podcast just randomly and put it on and started with our Christmas special too and liked it. I don't know. I didn't think people out there actually liked what we do, but apparently.
Well, and see, I've got this feedback multiple times. People are like, I like your stocking stuffer episodes. I don't give a fuck about those movie reviews.
Shut the fuck up.
So there's that. But yeah, leave us reviews on all the podcatchers. 5 stars, of course. Put 0 stars if I could, so we know you're a real sicko. Take your opinion seriously. I'm going to be rolling out a new feature for the podcast. I'm starting a Cult of Mithras that you guys can join. It's going to work a little bit like a craft fair pyramid scheme, but I'll iron out the details for next time.
Man, the apocalypse from Christmas Craft Fair Massacre ain't got nothing on.
Yeah, I think you said it best when this is what Christmas Craft Fair Massacre could have been if they had actually cared.
Yep. We're proud to be part of the Christmas Podcast Network. Maybe they'd be proud of this episode. Hard to say. All sorts of good stuff. Holidays After Dark. Our buddy Jerry D. Totally Rad Christmas. Weird Christmas. Christmas Creeps. Merry Britmas. Seasons Eatings. All that good stuff. Check them out.
Join the podcast network and only listen to this show. And I'll know if you listen to any other shows.
Yeah.
I'm watching you. You specifically.
You. Yeah, you there. Picking
John, I see you.
Picking your nose. Oh, picking your butt, too. Don't pick your butt, then pick your nose, then eat it. That's gross.
Don't make me tell your grandma what you're getting up to with your grok in your bedroom.
Yeah, John. Anyways. Anyway. We'll see you next week with a stocking stuffer. Guys, we're going to talk about monkeys.
Monkeys, Jay.
Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Oh no, Jay's going ape!